Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by Audible.com, where you can get a free audiobook at www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia. That's Mr. Media. There are more than 60,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player, including titles from today's Mr. Media radio guest. By the way, Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and home of two pretty great dogs, Scout and Chase, St. Petersburg, Florida. Dogs that can express themselves in a language we can all understand are nothing new. Remember the movie Cats and Dogs? One dog had the voice of Tobey Maguire, another the sonorous tones of Alec Baldwin. But how many dogs have written books about their adventures? Point there for Chet the Dog, sidekick of Bernie Little and sole employee of the Little Detective Agency, and do you smell that? Hint of bacon, ground black pepper, sizzling burgers on the grill? Where was I? The Chet and Bernie Mystery Series. Book one, Doggone It, was a big hit, quickly followed by the just published Thereby Hangs a Tale. Both books are narrated by Chet the Dog, who is a pretty adept storyteller, except for when he gets distracted by the smell of food, another dog's butt, fresh pastries, frisbees, baseballs. Now, Chet also has some problems remembering details a short time after an event occurs. But once he catches the scent the second time, the large incisors are known around the desert to take a big bite out of crime and criminals. Chet the Dog, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Chet, where did you first develop your writing chops?
My writing chops, I think, came to me at birth. I came from a writing type family. It's called a writing type litter.
Okay. I've never heard of that before. Is that an AKC group or?
Not yet. We're fighting to get it approved.
And do you type? I somehow imagine dictating would be easier with those paws of yours.
Well,
nothing personal.
Yes, I have. Everything is dictated in a kind of mental telepathy way through Spencer Quinn, whose name also appears on the books.
You know, I keep seeing that name, and I don't understand it. I'm a little confused by the jacket of your books. I mean, they say quite clearly a Chet and Bernie mystery, and you have a most distinctive voice as the narrator, but some guy named Quinn, who you just mentioned, has his name on the cover too. Who is this guy?
This guy is, I would call him my muse, really, and collaborator. So he's sort of the interface with the publishing business. But the stories are mine. But I'm not the kind of dog who, you know, needs to elbow his way into taking all the credit.
I got it. And I admire how ambitious you must be. I mean, what with writing the books and maintaining a blog, too. I saw that you even posted that you'd be doing this interview. Where do you get the time?
Well, I sleep well. I'm always well rested. So when you get your sleep, I think you can find that you can squeeze a lot of work into the waking hours.
Oh, well, you know, and dogs have this reputation for doing nothing more than eating, sleeping, pooping, eating, and sleeping. Is that a mistake? Or do
I
dogs
think
do
if
more
you read Doggone It and Thereby Hangs a Tale, you see that there's a lot more going on. We're actually quite busy.
You do seem to take a lot of naps, though.
Naps happen. There's no, sometimes, you know, I'm sure this has happened to you too, Bubs. Sometimes your eyelids just get heavy.
It does, yeah. That's true.
And when that happens, you know, you can only fight it for so long.
So I guess that's just kind of a stereotype of dogs. It's not necessarily true.
Well, you know, I think there's nothing wrong with a little bit of rest. I think it's good for us. You know, I have dreams too. Good to be in touch with dreamland.
Yeah. Chet, do you ever take license with the facts in your cases, you know, to make them more interesting? I mean, for example, is Bernie really that much of a ladies' man?
Well, look, Bernie doesn't think of himself as a ladies' man, so I don't, but I think women are sort of attracted to him. What happens after that, he tends to, you know, nothing against Bernie, he tends to fumble the ball a little bit with women, but there's an initial attraction toward him. But no, the facts of all the cases are absolutely 100% guaranteed, as well as I can remember them.
Well, that was I wanted to ask you about that, because you know there's some times where it seems like you're right on the verge of something, and then you'll be distracted by something and you'll lose track of certain things. But it all seems to come together in the end.
We've been lucky that way. Well, you see, it's a partnership. I think in your intro you said that I was really the employee, the sole employee of the Little Detective Agency. And by the way, if you want a Little Detective Agency actual business card, you can get one. Just go to chetthedog.com, and there, and you can find out how to get our actual business card. But where was I?
I don't know, but I guess you're the first dog I've interviewed who was able to market his own stuff. So go for it. That's good. I like that.
It's 2010, Bob.
We both got distracted. I know. The Internet creates all those opportunities.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. You seem partial to a particular brand of treats and snacks, and I wondered if the success of the books has created any endorsement opportunities for you.
None have come in the door yet, but, you know, we're not going to say no.
So I mean,
we'll listen to opportunities. You know, I'm an American dog, and you know, America is a capitalistic country. I'm not the kind who's going to, you know, oppose that.
Well, speaking of which, do you prefer, you know, dog food, like dry or wet, or do you prefer human food?
You know, I'm accepting really of almost all foods. I don't really draw a big line between dog food and human food. I think that's something that humans do. Humans seem to draw a big line between dog food and human food because you hardly ever see them eating dog food. But from our side, in the nation within the nation, as Bernie calls it, you know, we accept all foods. We're pretty accepting in many ways.
Now, before we talked about, we touched on this Quinn guy, but I also noticed that whenever I try to look up Spencer Quinn on Google to figure out the connection, the name Peter Abrams comes up. So I'm further confused. I guess I'm not very bright.
No, it's not. It's confusing. It's, you know, it's possible that all these names that you're introducing now are really parts of one whole. I think we can take it that far.
Now, is Quinn someone who's there with you?
Quinn is here. Would you like me to put Quinn on?
Well, my assistant gave me some human questions in case Quinn was there to be.
All right, hang on one second.
You know, to be polite. Okay.
All right, can you hang on one second? In fact,
of
I have
course.
To go. I have to go out anyway.
Okay,
hang on.
Thank you, Chet.
Hi, Spence here.
Hey, Spence, Bob Adelman, Mr.
Hi, nice to meet you, Bob.
I had a nice chat going there with Chet.
Oh, careful there with the mailman. Okay, We're all right.
You know, isn't it amazing how day to day they don't remember the mailman or they don't get adjusted to the mailman?
He likes this particular mailman. Our mailman is Louis, and Louis smokes a pipe. And so Chet can smell Louis coming, you know, from blocks away. He likes
that
pipe.
We had that here with Chase. Our mailman was a heavy smoker, and you could smell that. Humans could smell that coming a block away.
Even humans, okay.
Yeah, you know, I was just asking Chet about endorsements, and I wondered I asked Chet if he'd had any endorsement opportunities. I was kind of wondering the same thing. Has the success of the book, the books, created any snack food endorsements for opportunities for you?
If they've come along, the publishers haven't told me about it. So, no, nothing has come up like that so far. There's a dog food company called Rover & Company that makes very high-end snacks, and Chet actually gets to tour their kitchens one day. But that's actually a made up dog food. Maybe I should, maybe I should just market it myself, Rover and Company.
Well, I'm thinking, and actually, I asked Chet if he ever, kind of fudges on any details, and he said absolutely not. But so that's a made up company. So there you go. So I got to question the whole thing now.
Okay, you've got him in a corner, but that never really works with Chet. He's very adept at getting out of corners.
So
I wouldn't even press it any further.
Nobody puts Chet in a corner. I notice that.
Very tough. Very tough to do. He's quick. He's a 100-pounder, or a 100-plus pounder, as he refers to himself. But he's also extremely agile.
Spencer, how do you fit into the picture here with Chet? I mean, I know a lot of people, when they first start reading the books, probably think, okay, wait a minute. The voice I'm hearing here, the voice I'm reading, is a dog. I don't know. I mean, can the dog type? Does the dog speak? Where do you fit in? Your name is on the cover, too.
Yes, my name is on the cover. I think this is some version of channeling that goes on. That I'm channeling this voice. And it comes so readily to me that I'm convinced that, there's some kind of dog-like thing deep inside me, some dog DNA, because I haven't had to really... This voice came right out of the blue. Chet's voice.
Chet's voice, I understand.
Yeah,
he's
not a talking dog. I want to caution everybody on that. He's a narrating dog, but he doesn't do anything that dogs can't do. There are other, of course, dogs in literature who narrate at times, but they are all really kind of human in dog clothing. Chet isn't. He has, for example, there's no irony going on. A lot of these human things, like a sense of irony, he just doesn't have those.
I noticed that. He's a very straightforward kind of storyteller.
Except losing the thread at times. And in that way, there's a postmodern thing that goes on, a metafiction. But we don't need to get into that.
No, that's probably over my head anyway.
Me too.
It seems like at times he picks up on details, though, that I would have missed if I was telling a story. That's one of the things I think that's so endearing about him.
Well, their window into the world, well, there you go. It isn't really that much of a visual window. All our expressions, so many of them are visual oriented as human beings. But, as Chet says, the sense of sight, the visual sense, is really about his third go-to sense. Smell comes first and hearing comes second. So the visual is a backup. And so the things that we would miss because we just don't have the antennae, he's got it.
How does he choose? I mean, Chet and Bernie have had a lot of cases. And for people who don't know, haven't read the books yet, and they really should, or do the audiobook, but they have a lot
of
cases.
Which the guy did a great job, by the way. Jim Frangione is the reader of Dog on It and Thereby Hangs a Tale. Sorry to interrupt you, Bob, but he did a terrific job on those.
Actually,
I'm hoping that those are the audible.com. That I've just said the right thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was just going to say, I'll insert commercial here. Remind people they can go to audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia and get a free audiobook download of their choice, including one of the Chet the Dog books. So audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia. And, of course, you can always order the physical books at amazon.com or Mr. Media. But what I was coming around to in my roundabout commercial way. How do the boys Chet and Bernie choose which cases to turn into a book? Because there's so many.
There are many cases, and Chet alludes to them often. Something that they're doing will remind him of a certain case or a certain perp that he grabbed by the pant leg, and that's always the way the cases end. When Chet grabs the perp by the pant leg, it's case closed. Well, so far we've got two cases. That are in book form. Well, actually, there's three. I just finished the third one. But Chet and Bernie, the Little Detective Agency, specializes in missing persons cases, especially missing children. But because of their finances are shaky, they often have to take divorce work, which they hate. But doggone it, case one is a missing persons case. Book two, Thereby Hangs a Tale, is a different case that actually they resisted taking in the first place. It was guarding a show dog named Princess, this little fluff ball. And they don't like to do bodyguard work. But in this case, they accepted it, and it turned into an extremely complicated and dangerous situation. But how we decide, how the decision is made, which of these cases to cover, they're really the ones that Chet remembers from A to Z, or at least close to it. Some of those allusions to cases are really all that exists now in Chet's mind from those cases.
Mm. So it really has to be a case that he can remember in its entirety.
Yes, because, I mean, I think a reader likes to have a beginning, middle, and end in some order.
I think that's probably true, yeah. I'm just thinking about it. Yeah, beginning, middle, and end. That works for me. Now, so, yeah, the first case was missing child. Very good story. I mean, I wasn't really sure what was going on there until the very end. I don't want to give anything away, but it was...
No, we don't, because these are mysteries. You know,
Exactly.
The territory here is classic private eye type mysteries. It's just like, you know, in that way, a very familiar classic piece of music. But here in these books, it's played on a different instrument. That's the way.
Well, in the second book, Chet, it almost becomes kind of a buddy comedy at times with Chet and the show dog Princess, because you know they're mismatched. They have an odd sense of each other.
Yes, they are mismatched.
It plays well.
But they form under pressure. Chet and Princess, these two dogs who are very different and come from very different worlds, form a kind of bond and end up being quite impressed with the resources of the other.
Spencer, maybe you can give us a sense of this, because I'm a little confused by this. Chet seems to only communicate with other dogs in that he smells them, he roughhouses with them, he'll bump them with his nose. Is there some other level of communication going on there that we're not getting or that he's not sharing with us?
I think at times there is, and there are he has other interactions. We just don't get to see the whole story. For example, in Doggone It, there is that she barker that Chet hears across the canyon, and he, at the very end of the book, you know, he leaps over the backyard fence and heads that way. We just close the curtain at that moment. And in book three, which I've just finished, I guess it'll be out, you know, within the year, there's a scene in Mexico with a female dog, again, where we draw the curtains, but it shows that he has a wide-ranging, I think, emotional interaction with his fellow dogs.
Mm. Well, and you know, the I'm glad you mentioned that he has this interaction with the female dog again. I'm kind of wondering, I mean, you know, if Chet were to father a litter of pups, if he hasn't already, where could someone buy one of these dogs? Because they seem like very special dogs.
Well, that's very interesting. I mean, Bob, you think commercially beautifully, cutting edge stuff. Also, you could be, you know, helping me plot the series because, you know, the idea that maybe there are already little Chets out there, you know, is something that has occurred to me.
Interesting. So we're not clear yet, but it could happen.
We're not clear yet.
Hmm. And I guess with dogs, we never know. I mean, all those days out in the desert, who knows what's gone on?
Who knows, exactly.
And, you know, let me ask you this, Spence. I mean, and I'm not entirely clear on your relationship to Chet and Bernie, but, I mean, since reading these books myself, I have to tell you that I've become a lot more sensitive about what I say and do in front of my dogs, Chase and Scout. I mean, it's kind of creepy, you know, after all these years to realize from reading these books that they're not just watching, that they're paying attention.
I think they are paying attention, but one of the great things about them is if you treat them just half decently, no matter what your failings are, they're going to love you. And that's one of the great things about them. You know, just get up to the level of half decent treatment of them. They don't ask for much.
Now, Barney has Chet. Chet has Barney. I understand that you have Audrey. What kind of dog is Audrey?
Audrey is a she's a mix. She's half Bernese and half Golden. But you would never looking at her, you would never see the Golden side. She would look like a fairly small, unicolored. She's a black Bernese. She doesn't have the docile nature that a lot of Goldens have. We've had plenty of Goldens before. She's actually extremely vigorous and by far the strongest and most physical dog we've ever had.
Hmm.
A wonderful dog. But, you know, when she runs around, I mean, she does a lot of changing. She runs kind of, I don't know, like an NFL running back, and it just tears up the lawn and clods of, you know, the clods fly every time she runs around. And I say, Audrey, don't do that. And, of course, she does it more. You know, it's typical. A typical healthy man-dog relationship.
Now, does she have any special talents like Chet does? Is there something particularly
excellent on the guard dog aspect?
Oh.
Yes. You know, the way, you know, sometimes Chet, you know, in the books at night, he can't sleep. He thinks he's hearing things outside or he smells something, and he's very much, you know, the sentry of the house. Well, Audrey's the same way. You know, she's at night, if she hears a sound, I mean, she alerts us.
You know, I should have asked Chet. Maybe you know. I wondered if Chet had, like, you know, having been paper trained, I wondered if Chet had, like, favorite cartoon or comic strip dog. I was thinking perhaps Satchel from Get Fuzzy, but I didn't know if you had any insight to that.
I have no insight to that. He and Bernie tend to watch a lot of shows on, like, Animal Planet and Discovery Channel.
Mm.
Animal-type shows. But they get into certain movies. They had a period of watching Westerns, and Chet refers to those sometimes. And there was another period of watching horror movies, but it got too scary for both of them.
Okay. Well, we all have that issue. And, you know, I'm sorry. I was telling you before about how I've been, I think, more sensitive about Chase and Scout being around me and maybe seeing and thinking things differently than I had perceived. I wondered if the experience that you've had with Chet now, if you've had to alter any of your habits or if you feel any differently about Audrey.
Yes, I do. Absolutely. The same thing has happened to me, which is crazy because, you know, I sort of made it up, right? But that's the funny thing about being a writer. You, in a way, you kind of learn things in your own writing that you didn't know you knew. And I now do just the same as you said, Bob. I sometimes look at her after I've been, you know, doing something, whatever, you know, and I wonder, what's she thinking about that?
Mm.
You know, just something like raking the lawn, for example. Okay, which she enjoys tremendously. You know,
right.
she de-rakes, you know, while I rake. But I wonder if she, you know, what's her take on the whole, like, what is it that she thinks I'm doing and why is she undoing it? You know, she thinks that I'm just, it's possible that I'm doing, the whole thing is just a game that I'm playing with her. You know, that there's no other end purpose to it. She may be right.
She may be right. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, do you have a title for the new book?
Yes. The title for the new book is To Bark, Perchance to Bite.
I like it.
Thank you.
I like it. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, this book has something to do with the circus, actually. An elephant named Peanut disappears from a circus, possibly kidnapped, and Chet and Bernie are hired rather reluctantly to, you know, to go and see if they can find Peanut, and the animal trainer is also missing.
Hmm.
And it takes them down to Mexico and a whole dangerous world having to do with, you know, the huge business of exotic animal smuggling.
Now, I'm sure Chet's fans would be upset with me if I did not ask this question before I let you guys go. But 2 years ago, Marley was very big in books, and Marley became a big star of film. Is there anything in the works to bring Chet and Bernie's story to the big screen?
Yes, there is something in the works. I don't know where we are on it, but Universal Pictures has it, and Jeff Lowell, the writer for Hotel for Dogs, the movie Hotel for Dogs, is doing the screenplay. So they're somewhere at the screenplay stage. But there are many, you know, potential areas of slip up from that stage to, you know, finally getting on the screen. But at least something's happening, yes.
Got it. Well, that's great. That's very exciting for everybody, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Well, folks, listen, you can find Chet the Dog's new book under the byline Spencer Quinn for some reason. I'm still not really clear on that. Thereby Hangs a Tale, and that is the second story in the Chet and Bernie mystery series after Doggone It. You can find that in great bookstores everywhere. Or, as I mentioned, you can order the audiobook for free. You can go to audiblepodcast.com/MR Media, Mr. Media, to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, it's audiblepodcast.com/Mr. Media for your free audiobook. And check out Chet the Dog's blog, which is quite interesting, at www.chetthedog.com. You can also follow Chet on Twitter or Facebook. And Chet, Spencer, I know Chet's out in the yard. Thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today. It was very, very entertaining and delightful to get to know you.
Our pleasure.
All right. Take care.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And folks, for more interviews with your favorite novelists, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Adriana Trigiani, Lisa McMahon, Sarah Zarr, James Dashner, Richard Deutsch, Monty Schultz, Peter Gallenbach, John Darton, Sue Ann Jafarian, James Sheehan, and many more. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Andelman or facebook.com/Andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day to spend it with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening, everybody.